The future of our nation will greatly depend on the future of our kids, our families, and the church. But considering the current condition of America's youth, the church, and the American family today, is there hope for America's future? Today we'll be talking with a teenager who's been given a second chance at a better future for herself and a better vision for the future of America. So stay tuned and be encouraged. You're listening to Licensed to Parent. Hello and welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy in Martin, Georgia. Shepherd's Hill is a residential program for teens in trouble, and Licensed to Parent is a program for parents of those teens, and we're delighted to have you join us. Our host is Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill, and I'm Rich Rosel. And Trace, we have got a situation that I think affects virtually every kid growing up in America today, and that is, by definition, every teen is in one way or another troubled. We did a whole program on that not long ago. And what we came out with was it's really just a matter of degree. And I think if you want to extend it, every adult is even troubled to some degree or another. And if that's the case, then why are you so optimistic about our nation's future? It sounds like we're headed in the wrong direction. So what's up with that?
I'm optimistic for our nation's future, Rich, because of girls like this. We have two guests in the studio today.
Well, we do have two guests. The girl in question that you just mentioned, her name would be Kelsey. She is currently a student here at Shepherd's Hill Academy and was kind enough to agree to join us on Licensed to Parent and share a few things that hopefully will bring some enlightenment and some encouragement to moms and dads from all across America and all around the world. And Sarah is also joining us. And Sarah, you spend a lot of time with Kelsey day in and day out, and that is because you are what?
I am a residential staff at Shepherd's Hill Academy and am able to work with students such as Kelsey.
Excellent. Well, we are delighted to have you here. And Kelsey, we haven't officially welcomed you, but thanks for being willing to come in and share your story with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, welcome, ladies. Kelsey, you know, I'm really proud of you. I just can't say enough how proud of you I am. I think you may be the very first student, other than an alumni student, that we've ever had on the program. So congratulations. We don't need to know the specifics of why you came to Shepherd's Hill, but is it safe to say that things weren't going real well at home?
Yes, sir.
Considering the culture that we live in, do you agree even remotely with my notion that virtually every kid in America today is troubled from one degree or another?
Yes, sir.
And why would you say that?
Just looking around my public high school that I went to before coming here, I was considered one of the better kids, and I was still very, very troubled. And, you know, across any school that I've been to, I've seen with every student just this feeling of entitlement and disrespect and just this feeling that they know everything.
Let me ask you this regarding that, and again, don't share any details that you're not comfortable sharing, but the trouble that you were experiencing when you were in school, was that largely internal and, you know, your parents didn't see it, or were there things that were coming out on the outside? How was your trouble playing itself out in your life?
I think that a lot of the trouble came out on the outside because I was very rebellious, and I believed that whatever I said was right, and that no one could tell me what to do. But I didn't realize that the decisions that I was making were hurting me.
Wow.
Now, that sense of entitlement and all the other things you described in your public school system, did you see these things as just normal before coming to Shepherd's Hill?
Yes, sir.
And what made you think that this was just something that you were entitled to, these rebellious attitudes? You know, I assume you wanted to do things your way when you wanted to do them. What brought you to those conclusions?
It was just everything that I had always seen, from TV to hearing it in music to seeing my friends do it.
Mm-hmm. How did your parents react, though, when you were living life this way? You know, it's my way or the highway, which I assume is sort of how you were living.
We fought a lot. And they threatened sending me to places like this, but I guess they never really stuck to their word until they finally sent me here.
Mm. So did it feel like there was an inconsistency in their message coming back to you? Or that there wasn't a real strong message coming back to you other than don't do it, but nothing more than that?
I think that they tried to send me a strong message, but I was at that point where I didn't really care what kind of message they were sending me, because I believed that no matter what they did, I could still get past it.
Now, were your parents kind of the exception to most kids' parents in public school as far as their rules, their boundaries, the way that they wanted to bring you up compared to a lot of the kids in public school? Or were other parents just as strict with boundaries and things like that?
My parents were definitely more strict with boundaries because I did grow up in a Christian home with Christian values. And I witnessed a lot of my friends who had parents that weren't really involved in their lives at all. And for some reason, that's what I wanted before I came here and realized how valuable my parents are to me.
Mm-hmm. Was coming to Shepherd's Hill a surprise for you?
Yes, sir.
Did you come by transport or did your parents bring you here?
My parents brought me.
Okay. And what was that experience like?
I thought that my life was over. I would have rather been dead.
I think most kids would agree with that. I think most kids that very first day would agree with that.
Sarah, you've obviously witnessed more than just Kelsey coming into the fold here at Shepherd's Hill. Is that a typical response?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of students think that this is the end of something. And really, it is a death of their old life in some senses.
Yeah.
They really are losing that the way they were living and being able to live how they wanted to.
And you really can't tell a kid at that particular point that it's not the end,
right.
But it's really a beginning. They're just not in an emotional state to understand that. Would I be right in saying that, Kelsey?
Yes, sir.
Tell you what, Kelsey, real quickly, because of the fact that we talk in generalities about Shepherd's Hill and the Licensed to Parent program, but we haven't really described in great depth what goes on here. Can you tell me, give us sort of a brief walkthrough of what you witnessed, what you experienced, just, you know, what you saw as you looked around on those first few days here? What did it look like from your eyeballs?
When I got here, I looked around and I saw a lot of nature, a lot of grass fields, and the sky was gorgeous. I'd never seen such a pretty sunset before coming here. And then my first weekend, I saw where we were living.
Which, describe that.
When I first got here, I lived in a cabin in the woods with 9 other girls. We had no electricity. And we collected our wood and put it in the wood-burning stove at nighttime to stay warm. And I got to spend a lot of time with animals that I hadn't spent time with before.
Was this by choice or by the fact that they were walking through the woods and found their way into your cabin?
Actually, we have a barn.
Okay.
So we take care of the animals in the barn.
Oh, you're talking about the animals that are regular residents.
Yes,
okay. Sir.
Thought a stray bobcat or something may have come in. And,
well, that's possible. But hear coyotes almost every night there down there, don't you?
Oh, yes, sir.
And those cabins aren't exactly, the thing that Abraham Lincoln was born in. And these are primitive cabins. I mean, there's not much to them.
I was about to say, you gave me a tour here when I first started working with you, and they are wood framed, but then wrapped with an insulation type material and whatnot.
Yeah.
So certainly weatherproof,
sure.
Safe, and they'll keep the elements out. They'll keep it warm, but we wouldn't call this luxurious by any stretch of the imagination, would we?
No, sir.
Okay.
How did the experience of living in a building like that, how did that affect your entitlement situation? Would you say you were entitled when you first got here?
I was very entitled. I would say that when I first got here, it was definitely a culture shock because I wasn't used to living in those kind of conditions. But the longer I spent here, the more I realized that I'm not entitled to anything. Mm. And for the first time in my life, I understood what gratitude felt like. Mm. Because for the first time, even small things meant so much. Whereas before, a huge thing wouldn't mean much because I was just so used to getting it.
You had so many huge things. And I think that describes most of American kids today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the kids that are in the third world countries with the big bellies and flies buzzing around their heads, you know, they're smiling. And yet America has the highest teen suicide rate in the world. And I was just reading an article the other day where in two Ivy League colleges, cutting, the phenomenon of cutting, 1 in 5 are cutting themselves. So there's something to be said that perhaps affluence could be a greater detriment to our health, emotionally, spiritually, physically, than poverty. Your thoughts on that, Kelsey?
I think that living in America, we are so blessed that we don't understand what real suffering feels like. So the smallest thing that happens to us is a tragedy.
Sure. No, I think you're exactly right. I think you nailed it. And even in the conditions that you live in here at Shepherd's Hill, for better part of a year, you're still living better than 75% of the world. Isn't that incredible?
That's crazy.
Now, other than the living conditions, how different is the school atmosphere? How would you compare where you came from to what you're experiencing now here at Shepherd's Hill Academy?
The school atmosphere is definitely more controlled, so the students are far more respectful, and the classroom environment is a better environment for learning because the students are actually listening to what the teachers have to say, but also the teachers really, you can tell that they genuinely care for you, and you get a lot of one-on-one attention, and even after school hours, they're willing to stay after and help you.
Let me jump in here real quickly. You're listening to Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry, and I'm Rich Rosel. And our guests today are Kelsey and Sarah. Kelsey is a student who is in residence here at Shepherd's Hill Academy, and Sarah is one of the residential staff here at Shepherd's Hill Academy, and they are both talking to us about a teen's experience living here in a residential facility like Shepherd's Hill. And we'll be back with more conversation right after this, so don't go away. Hi, I'm Rich Rosel, co-host of Licensed to Parent. The conversations and the teaching that you hear on this program come from the daily experiences gained at Shepherd's Hill Academy, the Christ-centered therapeutic boarding school founded by our host, Trace Embry, that serves troubled teenagers from all around the world. Teens come to Shepherd's Hill struggling with depression, oppositional defiance, ADD, ADHD, cutting, digital addictions, and any number of other behavioral disorders. Yet by God's grace and by using the scriptural principles that we discuss right here on Licensed to Parent, these students experience healing. Not only that, many are graduating medication-free. At Shepherd's Hill, we're cultivating the soil of our students' hearts so that the seed of God's Spirit can take root and bear fruit. And on Licensed to Parent, we're equipping you to be the parent your child needs. Please join us in this important outreach by visiting us today at licensedtoparent.org. Your tax-deductible contribution can rebuild the hearts and lives of teens and their parents in today's troubled culture. Don't wait. Go to licensedtoparent.org and click donate at the top of the page.
This is Kevin Swanson from Generations with Vision, and I want to say that Shepherd's Hill Academy is a wonderful opportunity for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the reconciliation of our young people with God, reformation of life, the ministry of the Spirit of God, and radically changing lives. And by the grace of God, this is what happens with Shepherd's Hill Academy. And we want to praise God for what these folks have been doing.
Shepherd's Hill Academy serves families with teenagers in crisis. If you have a situation you need help with, go to helpmytroubledteen.org and click on Inquire Now. That's helpmytroubledteen.org.
Welcome back. You are listening to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy in Martin, Georgia, a residential program for teens in trouble. And we are talking to a teen who was in trouble, but is now 7 months into a one-year program, I believe. And Kelsey, it sounds like in watching your expression as you're telling this and in thinking about my own life, I've often said that had I gone to college, for example, several years later, after being in the workplace for a while, I think I would have been a much better student. I would have been more appreciative of the opportunity I had, and I would have maximized it. And it sort of sounds like you are saying something similar in that now that you're here, there's some structure and some discipline that may not have been available in the public school system, but that you, who even took your studies seriously before, if I'm hearing you right, you are seeing a better opportunity to study and to learn and be more engaged with your teachers even. Is that accurate, or am I off on a side tangent somewhere?
It's accurate.
Well, you know, to add on to your point, you know, I didn't go to college till I was in my mid to late 30s. And when I had to take the little entrance exam, I forget what they call it even, but basically to see if you can really do college, I showed up as pretty much mentally retarded. I mean, I was that bad. I was off the charts bad.
We prefer not to let that fact out.
Yeah, right. But the thing is once I got there and, you know, I'm paying my own way, I'm still feeding my kids and raising my family, I so appreciated the opportunity that God gave me to attend school that I was on the dean's list every time. You know, so there's definitely something to be said for...
I think there's a lot to be said about perspective. Larry Burkett, my former boss from years back, once he was diagnosed with cancer, he often said that he wished that everybody could be given a terminal disease and then have it go into remission. Because at that moment, when you receive the diagnosis, all of your priorities change. Yeah. Your total perspective on life changes. And it sounds, Kelsey, like you may have had a similar life-changing experience in moving out of your parents' house and coming here. Yes, and fortunately, it's not terminal. You're allowed to graduate and go on with life.
Yeah. Well, Kelsey, if parents are on the fence between homeschooling their kids or putting them in the private school or public school, what word of wisdom from someone who's been in the public school system would you give to parents about educating their kids?
I would say that the public school system is a very, very hard environment for a kid to have good morals and to care about learning, because there it's all about your image and what kind of friends you can make and what kind of parties you can get invited to.
So what were your thoughts when you were told that you were going to go away to an unknown place like Shepherd's Hill? How did you feel about your parents at that point? Because a lot of parents don't follow through with their threat of residential care because they don't want the disapproval of their children. I deal with this on a regular basis. What counsel do you have for parents like that?
When I first found out that I was coming to Shepherd's Hill, I thought that I would never forgive my parents. I didn't want anything to do with them. But the longer that I've spent here, the more I've realized that they did what they did to save my life because they love me so much. And now I value my parents more than anyone else in this world.
There's a lot of parents that are listening to that and taking that to heart. How long have you been here now, Kels?
About 7 months.
7 months. How has the time gone by?
It started off slow. My first month felt like about 5 months, but my last 6 months have felt like three.
And you have how many months to go?
2.5 to 3.
Do you have any regrets? Any regrets at all? About your parents sending you here?
Not at all. Them sending me here changed my life for the better. And now I can go home and have an incredible relationship with them and the rest of my family. I can learn how to have healthy relationships with other people. And I have direction for my life now.
Sarah, we've sort of left you in silence over there. I appreciate, first of all, your being here. Sarah is the residential staff who works with Kelsey.
One of the things that, that Trace alluded to earlier was the fact that Kelsey now has electricity. Which, you know, to those who are not familiar with Shepherd's Hill, this just sounds like some barbaric thing. But again, it's kind of stripping away many of the worldly goods,
sure,
starting off at the basic point and then working your way up. So Kelsey's been here 7 months. What were some of the things that you and others observed in her that said, okay, you're ready to move up to the next step, and now you're in a little bit more equipped facility and whatnot? What are some of the things that, that the students go through to make it up to the various stages to finally graduate here?
Okay, when students come to Shepherd's Hill, we will tell them that they have no trust with us. We will not hold their pass against them, but they need to show us that they are trustworthy. And so that begins with the smallest things, such as I can trust you to speak without raising your hand and know that you're going to say something appropriate. I can trust you to, do your chore when you're supposed to do your chore. And so it starts with those small things, those tiny moments where they just need to prove, okay, I'll do my chore. I can be responsible in this small thing. And from there, we move forward, and we say they're earning those privileges back. When they come and they're sent to a cabin in the woods with no electricity, they're stripped of pretty much all the conveniences that we have in society. And so slowly we give those things back. For the girls, you know, they can earn makeup back. They can earn the ability to do their hair, straighten it, and things like that. And so it's a process, and it takes months of this process, sure, of gaining trust. And so eventually they come to a place and I can say, you know, Kelsey, I trust you with all these small things, and I can trust you now to be living in a house and to have more freedom and to be able to do the right thing when I'm not looking, that type of thing. So we're looking for trust. Can we trust this student? And, you know, do they have the actions to back up what they're, sure, saying? Can they follow through with their desire to do the right thing?
Well, this is absolutely scriptural because, you know, the Lord himself said, you know, I've entrusted you with these small things, and
that's
now,
right,
I'm putting you in charge of much greater,
exactly,
things.
Right.
And parents, if you're listening to this right now, I can think of a number of families that I know, and my family goes through this from time to time, where trust has to be regained.
Right.
And that's a great model for all of us to follow,
sure,
in dealing with other people. We're not going to hold the past against you, but we're starting back over at square one for this particular problem, and you regain it little bit by little bit.
There are too many people, Rich, that have a faulty idea of what forgiveness is.
Mm-hmm.
Every kid here is forgiven, you know, by their parents, by us, by God. But there's a difference between forgiveness and restoration, and even reconciliation. You know, the Bible talks about God and sinners reconciled, and we are reconciled back to God, but we won't really be fully restored until we get our new glorified bodies. You know, paradise has been lost to a great degree by what took place in the garden, and
yeah,
but yet, because of the cross, we are restored to God, where we can enjoy a relationship with him until we can. That's culminated in restoration beyond the, you know, the other side.
Even that, though, on this earth and in this life requires, on our part, repentance.
Absolutely.
The turning away from the sin. And God knows our heart, and God knows whether we've turned away or not. But I think the parallel here for parents and for the Shepherd's Hill students and Shepherd's Hill staff is, we're now demonstrating that repentance,
yeah,
by saying, okay, you've said this is the guideline, and I am turning away, mm-hmm, from what I used to do of demanding my own way, and I'm now respectfully talking to you, asking,
right,
doing these other things.
Well, Sarah nailed it. I mean, she made the statement, doing the right thing. And I think it goes back to what we try to teach the kids here at Shepherd's Hill about the difference between a biblical worldview and what has taken over America today, a postmodern worldview. And Kelsey described how she wanted to do her thing, her way, when she wanted to do it, when she wanted to do it, because postmodernism had drilled that into her head from the TV programs, the music, just culture at large, in order to do the right thing, Rich, you have to know that there is a right thing, something that's transcendent and beyond what you think it is, but what it actually is. And I think, and Kelsey, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you've come to the place that you realize that regardless of what you think about a situation, there is a right thing to think about each situation when we look at reality through the lens of Scripture.
Yes, sir.
Can you elaborate on that at all?
Well, before I came here, I did have this very relativistic view about everything. And the thing was, I could never really define what right and wrong was. I mean, there were certain things where I was like, oh, murder's wrong, you can't do that. But then again, what if the person next to me says that murder is okay? And so we never had something that defined what was right and what was wrong. And if everybody goes by what they think is right, the world goes to chaos.
So did it help you when we started addressing issues about worldviews here at Shepherd's Hill? Did that help you understand a little bit what your counselors were trying to get across to you when they started talking to you about doing the right thing? Did that make sense to you?
Yes, sir. It made me understand that the Bible gives a distinct view of what is right and what is wrong. And I've seen that if you follow that, that everything goes right.
Sure.
I tell you what, I'm going to have to interrupt again because our 28 and a half minutes is up on today's Licensed to Parent program. We've been visiting with Kelsey and with Sarah, who are respectively a student and a residential staff person here at Shepherd's Hill Academy, about life here on the farm, so to speak, and trying to give you as a parent an insight into what goes on at Shepherd's Hill and some things that you might consider as you are raising your teen in an era where it seems all teens and, in fact, most adults are troubled. Trace, I'd like to invite these ladies to join us again next week, and we'll continue our conversation.
Let's do it.
Ladies, you're invited to join us again next week so we can continue this conversation. I hope you guys can come back.
Thank you. We look forward to it.
Okay. Licensed to Parent, again, is the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. And if you'd like to learn more about us, if you'd like to read our blog, if you'd like to hear archives of past programs, or connect with us on Facebook or Twitter, you can do so by visiting us online at licensedtoparent.org. That's licensedtoparent.org. And while you're on the site, I would heartily encourage you to click on the donate button in the upper right-hand portion of the page. It is next to impossible to keep a radio outreach going and a facility like Shepherd's Hill going without great partners like you. Your financial help will enable us to keep ministering to teens in trouble and also, through this radio program, to keep ministering to their parents. So if you would please prayerfully consider any way that you might join us in this mission by visiting us online at licensedtoparent.org and clicking on the donate button. I'm Rich Rosel. On behalf of Trace Embry, thanks for joining us. And with a final closing thought, here's Trace.
Parents, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.